today. Our scriptural affirmation comes from Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed.
And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare us the Passover, that we may eat."
And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?"
And ye shall say, and he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in.
And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?'
And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready.
And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover.
And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him.
And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, before I suffer.
For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves.
For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come."
And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you."
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, sometimes we almost feel out of sync in coming in our worship of you. But we know that we can come to you, Lord, because you are a merciful God, your God. And we ask that today you would make your presence so known here that we would just relax in you, speak plainly to us. Help us to understand what you're saying to us. And help us to grow in the things of God so that we might serve you in a way that is right and acceptable, that we might enjoy your presence. Oh, Lord, we need you. Can't do this life without you. And we're so grateful we don't have to because you are with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Your holy name, because you are. I worship your holy name. There's none other like you. I worship your holy name because you are good. You are good all the time, and you all the time you are good. You are great, wondrous, majestic God who has blessed us. And we want to remember that you have blessed us. Remind us today that you have blessed us. Help us to live today as people who know that you have blessed us. Let us live as a group of people who understand that we can survive, we can thrive because you have blessed us. You have blessed us, and we have been blessed to be a blessing. We've gone through so much, but you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we want to look at an interesting part of Scripture in Luke, the 22nd chapter, starting at the 7th verse, I guess. Because we want to stop and remember, Jesus did a wonderful thing in his teaching. Sometimes he would say, in fact, a lot of Jewish teaching was this way. It was remember, remember this, remember that, remember, think about this, consider this, meditate on this, remember, remember. I'm going to give you some things that will be things you can look back to that will help you remember. They would come across the Red Sea and they'd put up stones, and those stones were to be a remembrance. They would look up at the bronze snake, and that was to be remembrance. There are things that God wants to give to us so that we will just flat out remember. That we will, in the midst of the circumstances of our life, remember. You ever think about that? That sometimes the circumstances of your life tend to make you forget. Sometimes the circumstances of your life rob you of the assurance that God is with you. Sometimes the circumstances of your life seem so hopeless and frustrating and that you just want to give up. And it's so sad when someone wants to give up who's already won. You need to understand that if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've already won. You're on the winning side. In the Civil War, there was battles fought after the South had surrendered, and people died after the victory had been won. In Vietnam, after we pulled out, people died. There are places that people died after they were already a part of the victory. They didn't have to fall apart. They didn't have to die. They didn't have to give up because there was victory for them. Is there victory for you today? Is there victory for you today? I'm telling you, there's victory for you if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you've received him as your Lord. If you say, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he's my salvation. I believe he is the answer. And in spite of all of this stuff that I see around me, all of the things that I feel on me, all of the things that are pressing out there in the future somewhere, all of those things, in spite of all of that stuff, I believe that Jesus Christ is my King. If you can say that with any type of integrity whatsoever, you too have been changed, have been made different. You know, you don't always feel different when you've been made different. Do you know that? Sometimes, you know, I feel pretty normal. People are laughing that I would be thought of as normal. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, I don't go by what they think. I go by what the Lord says about me. You know, and so I've got this heart that they've taken out of my body and fiddled with and went into and dug stuff out of and cleaned it and all of that. And I don't feel different. I just feel better. You know, and sometimes a lot of work can be done, have done in your life, and you still don't feel it yet. It takes a while to catch up with the quality of the work. It takes a while to heal from the stuff of life. The good stuff, even. You know? It's good when they straighten out your knees. It's good when they rotor-rooter your heart. It's good when they get that stuff out of your kidney. It's good when your toes are straightened out. It's good. But sometimes it takes a while for that to show up in your life. So Jesus recognizing that his disciples were about to witness something that would so shock them that they might not get it, he says, listen, I want you to remember some things. I want you to think of these things, and anytime that you think of these things, remember what you know about me. Starting at the 7th verse here, it says, then came the day of unleavened bread, the Passover. What a special time in history was the Passover. The people had been in bondage for 400 years. Sometimes we think we've been in bondage for a really long time. But the people, they were in bondage for generations. For generations, they had not felt at home. For generations, they had not been able to express themselves the way that they wanted to express themselves. They had not felt safe. They had not been safe. And now God had gone and spoken to Pharaoh in Egypt through Moses, let my people go. Let them go. And Pharaoh, no, I'm not letting them go. Once. Let them go. No, I'm not letting them go twice. Let them go. No, I'm not letting them go. No, I'm not letting them go. And then says, God, okay, you're not going to let them go. That's right, I'm not letting them go. You're not going to let them go. You're not going to let them go. You're going to be a fool. You're not going to let them go. You're going to see everything that came against my people. You're going to see that destroyed. You're not going to let them go. 10 times. 10 times. The Father triumphed over the gods of Pharaoh. What an amazing thing that was. And when that 10th plague came, he's going to let you go now. When that 10th plague came, he wanted to make sure that his people, the people of Israel, the people of God, were sure that they were in line with him. He said, I'm sending the death angel. And it's going to wipe out a lot of people. But anybody who says they're in league with me by putting blood over the doorpost of their home would be saved. Would be saved. Is the blood over the doorpost of your home? Metaphorically. Please don't put any blood on your doorpost. The blood. And so the people were told to remember this act. Every year, the men of Israel were to gather in Jerusalem and they were to remember this act. Remember what had happened. Remember this. So it was the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. It was a week-long celebration. And he sent, Jesus sent, Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. The preparation of this thing was important. Sometimes I think we just want to worship, but we don't want to prepare to worship. We just kind of want to turn it on in a sloppy old kind of way, you know, like it doesn't mean anything. Now, you prepared for this. He said, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, well, where? Where wilt thou that we would prepare? Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do for this? We know they knew how to prepare for a Passover. They'd known that all their life. They're little Jewish boys, so they've seen Passover after Passover after Passover. So they knew what it took. They knew that there were some special things that they were supposed to do. They knew that there were things that they were going to be said, and they knew that there were things that were remembrances of the great deliverance that God had given. And he said, go and prepare us to Passover. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, when you get into Jerusalem, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. First time I thought about this, I thought, could you imagine going into the town square and there are just guys all over the place with pitchers of water on their head? It's like, but the thing is that would have been odd, you see, because most of the women were the ones who carried the pitchers of water. And to see a man walking around with a pitcher of water on his head would have been unique. And so when they saw that, they were to follow that man. He's going to come right up to you, and you just follow that man. Jesus had set this thing up in a beautiful way. So when you enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth. Go right on into the house. And ye shall say unto the good man, the owner of the house, when you go in, when you get there, the master saith unto thee, and he says, master, he doesn't say rabbi, he says master, teacher. He says the special one. Maybe they had even a prior relationship, because how could he call him the master? But the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Now, it must have been a large house, because this family is going to be eating the Passover themselves. And they have a guest place, a guest room, where they could feed 13 people. The 13 people, the apostles and Jesus. So he's in this nice house, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, that's where you make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So here they are. They're going to celebrate the Passover with Jesus. Celebrate the deliverance that God provides for his people with Jesus. Celebrate in a unique way. And when the hour was come, he sat down. He sat down. And the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I had looked forward to this. That's really interesting. He looked forward to doing this. But he didn't look forward to it in a way that he was naive. He understood what was going to happen. He understood he was about to die. What people say when they're about to die, and you know they're about to die, it has real impact. Real impact. I could still remember my dad. They had him propped up in a bed. And there will be a lot of things he would say that I had a hard time understanding, but there are other things that were very sharp and clear that he spoke in the voice that many of you have heard, just clear and deep and special. He said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to suffer. And here in the scripture, my Jesus knew he was going to suffer and yet was still prepared to die. Prepared to die. Are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to suffer? All who live godly shall suffer persecution. Are you prepared to live a life that allows the circumstances to happen that will forward the gospel of the kingdom of God? Are you prepared to do whatever it is that you should do? Are you prepared to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service, and not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and do it in a way that you don't think too highly of yourself, but you think soberly, because each man has been given a gift that he is to live in a way that he is a blessing in the midst of the people of God. Are you prepared to live as one that's going to die and then live forever? Are you prepared? And when the hour was come, verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is the last one for me on this side. We won't do this again until I return. I've wanted to do this because this is a very special time. This is letting you know some things that you need to know. Do you know him today? And he took the cup. There were at least four times that they took the cup during this period of time. And he took the cup because that was the symbolism there. And he took the cup and gave thanks. Take this and divide it among yourselves. I want everybody to have some of this. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of the whole. I want you to know that you are a part of what's happening here. Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. We are in a time where the Spirit of God has brought the kingdom of God to us. Each of us can obey him. We can live as if the kingdom is fully realized. We're in kind of a now but not yet time. We're in a time where Jesus has not come back, but he has given us the Spirit of the living God, and we have been empowered to live righteously. We can do this thing. We can do this thing. Sometimes it's hard, but we can live right. Sometimes it's hard, but we can obey. Sometimes it's difficult, but we can keep on going. And sometimes we fail, but if we fail, we can confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us. Not only are we forgiven, it's not like, okay, it's you're clean. Walk with me, walk in me, allow me to flow through you so that we can do what it is that is called for in the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is that the king He's good. Verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks. Yeah. He gave thanks. Here, this bread represents his body. And he gave thanks and broke it. He gave thanks and broke it. And gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. I'm giving myself for you. This is given for you. This do." I want you to keep on doing this over the years in remembrance of me. You see, because you need to remember that the price has been paid. You need to be reminded that the victory is won. You need to be reminded you are loved. You need to be reminded that the circumstances don't dictate the truth. The truth dictates. And the truth is Jesus. "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." We got a fresh agreement going on here. And I'm sealing that agreement. "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It was done for you. What are we remembering here? Turn with me just back to 17th chapter of Leviticus. Back in Leviticus. We'll start at maybe the 10th verse. 17:10. Probably should start at 17:11 because I don't have time to explain all that's said in 10. So we'll start 17:11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." In the blood. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. The price has been paid for my sin." I would love to say, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything. What you talking about? But I know what the Word of God says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have messed up. All of us have had challenges doing things that we thought we should do better. All of us, I look at my children and wish I'd done better. I look at my jobs and wish I'd done better. I look at my schooling and wish I'd done better. I look at my friends and wish I'd done better. But I fall short, and we all fall short. We all fall down. We all make mistakes. We all do on purposes that we should not have done. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us need a Savior, and there is no salvation without the shedding of blood. And I didn't want to shed my blood for this. So there was one that came along and shed his blood, that spilled his blood, so that we could be saved. We could be made different. Man, he recognized the life is in the blood. And he's made atonement for my soul. Life is in the blood. We're going to do something that is not our normal course of things. We generally, as a, just a habit and way that we have done it, have done our communion, our Lord's Supper, on the first Sunday. And we will do it next Sunday, which is the first Sunday. But I wanted to do it today as well. Just to think about this, that you would remember, that you would have a visual understanding of what this scripture was saying. You're the disciples now. And Jesus is here and he's sitting with you. They reclined at a table. They would have low tables and they would just lean back at the tables and they would do this. And Jesus would sit up and he would say the words that I have mentioned to you so far. He would say these words and it would resound in your heart. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Corinthians. 11th chapter of Corinthians, starting at the 20th verse. 11th chapter, 20th verse, it says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before his own. The one is hungry and another drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat or drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you for this? I praise you not." You see, we're supposed to come together and do things right to each other, to love each other, to be taking care of each other. We're supposed to have community. We're supposed to care. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," even though he was betrayed, even though circumstances were difficult, even though it didn't feel good, when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." This bread that they used during this time was, it didn't have any yeast in it. It was a bread that, and yeast spoke of sin. And so this was a very basic bread. It was cleansed of sin. "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And that's what we'll do today. Our representation of bread here is in the top layer. And our representation of the blood here is, or the wine is in the cup. So he says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do now show the Lord's death till he come." Today, will you show his death? Will you take this seriously today? It's not a game. Look at the next verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We should not be condemned with the world, that we wouldn't be condemned with the world, that the world would not be able to condemn us. No, 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 because the blood of Christ covers our life. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together to condemnation. And the rest will I set in order, will I come. So I'm going to pass these out, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper, communion together. Be clear what you're saying. You're saying, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. If you know of any sins that you have, you don't have to confess them to me, but you're saying, I confess my sin. So you're cleansed. But you're doing that. You're doing this seriously. You're reaffirming that God is moving, has moved, and will move in your life. Today is the day. Please let him move in you this day. And so while the fellows are playing, I'm going to pass this out.